overall and 6-1 in the region, finishing behind Camden County. Marietta finished 7-3 overall, 6-2 in their region, and that was behind their region winner, McEachern, the number two seed, and of the number one seed, and the number two seed, North Cobb. Let's take a look at the Marietta Blue Devils. Marietta is coached by Scott Burton, who was in his third year with the Blue Devils. Coach Burton took a team who had not been in the playoffs in nearly a decade, and after a disappointing 2-8 first season, put the Blue Devils in the playoffs the last 2 years. Overall, Marietta is 30-27 in the postseason. And, of course, that dates back to their first playoff game in 1948. The Blue Devils return 14 starters, 9 on offense and 5 on defense. Marietta is led by third-year starter, the senior number 12, Anthony Jennings, a 6'2", 200-pounder who is headed off to LSU. Jennings likes to run as much as he likes to pass. And in that one-back spread offense Marietta runs, he gets plenty of opportunity to do both. Along with Jennings, Marietta also features a Wake Forest-bound running back and 5'7", 180-pound senior, number 20, Cravante Benson. Jennings' favorite receivers is number 7, Tyree Harris, a 6'1", 165-pound senior, and number 16, Kenny Norwood, a 6'3", 185-pound senior. The strength of the Marietta offense seems to be their offensive line, which features four starters returning, all of whom are seniors. If Marietta has a weakness, well, it may be in their defense, which has only four returning starters. And you look at their D, and you look at number one, Tyler Tomlin, a 5'11", 218-pound senior, who is their leading tackler from the inside linebacker position. Marietta also features two outstanding defensive backs in number three, Peter Savick, a 5'9", 155-pound senior, and number 14, a 5'10", sophomore, T.J. Bullock, a 5'10", junior, T.J. Bullock. Our Lounge High Vikings are almost back at full strength with both Tyquan Lang and Nick Bergman practicing this week. Tyquan has not played in the last two games, and Nick missed the Camden game. Our Vikings are 42-18 all-time in postseason play, and 17-1 at home under Randy McPherson, but only lost coming to Collins Hill here at Martin Stadium in 2010. The Vikings are averaging 34.2 points per game while giving up only 12 points per game. Marietta is averaging 37.6 points per game per contest, and their defense is giving up 23 points. As Coach Burton said, we aren't traveling south on 95 just to play football. We are expected to win. This should make a This should make for a great first round matchup in the state 6A playoffs. Other playoff action includes the number 3 seed Valdosta at number 2 seed North Cobb, number 4 seed Colquitt at number 1 seed McEachern, while number 1 seed Camden hosts number 4 seed Hillgrove. And looking at other games around our region, Fitzgerald is hosting the number 1 seed is hosting Northeast Macon, the number 4 seed, while Early County, the Region 1 3 seed, is headed up to Blakely County, who is a 2 seed. Over on the other side, undefeated Brooks County Trojans, well, they're hosting Macon County tonight, while Cook County, the number 4 seed, heads up to Lamar County, the number 1 seed. And the Valwood Valiants, under first-year coach Ashley Anderson, are in the second round of the state playoffs, and they have a good chance to go 14-0 on the year. We were going to take our first break. We're not. We're going to keep it right here on the Southeastern Federal Credit Union's countdown to kickoff. And so let's go and join the rest of the crew, Bill Osborne, Taylor Biddle, and Marty Rogers. You are listening to the Southeastern Federal Credit Union countdown to kickoff, and let's go down to the sidelines and Marty.
Hey, guys, we're going to do things a little differently tonight. We've got Coach Scott Burton with us, and he wanted to go ahead and try to get this out of the way. And of course, we appreciate him being here tonight and speaking with us and taking a few minutes. He's got a busy pregame. So, Coach, just want to say, first of all, thank you for talking with us. Also, just want to say, you know, you're in your third year here at Marietta. You've gotten better each year. You're second year in the playoffs. You won a home playoff, won a playoff game last year. You took over after after Coach Friday, which everybody knows around the state, and Coach Friday built a great tradition up there at Marietta. But talk to us a little bit about taking over there. You're in your third year, and what you've done since you've gotten there at Marietta.
Well, the Marietta community, like you said, is full of history and tradition, and I was just proud to be able to receive the baton from Coach Friday and try to carry on and do what's right by the community and by the kids that have bought into the message that we've tried to instill in them. And as you said, we've gotten a little bit better each year, and we just hope that our progress and development is enough to get us by tonight.
Coach, you talk about the progress and development and building the program there. You do have a lot of history up there and a lot of tradition, but one thing you did when you took over was you really wanted to build the feeder program. And you joined the middle schools. You did a lot with the youth leagues. Talk to us a little bit about that, and what's the importance of doing that to build a program?
Well, I think if you don't do that, then you're reinventing yourself every year instead of having the ability to just kind of build off the previous year. So we felt like that was very important. We felt like that was one piece of the great puzzle at Marietta, the great tradition that maybe could be strengthened a little bit. So we poured a lot of eggs into that basket, and the results have been pretty good so far after 2 years of the feeder program. It's our third year here, but we waited until year two to start the program, and it's just crucial. It's crucial for the community. It's crucial for the kids to have an identity. And, we want kids that grow up in and around Marietta to make sure that they're Blue Devils for life.
Well, that is very important, and it's paying off now, but it'll pay off even more down the road. Switching gears a little bit, talking about this team this year, you've got a lot of talent, of course, led by your quarterback, Anthony Jennings. You like to spread it out offensively. I believe you're averaging over 37 points per game, which is great. But talk to us a little bit about that young man and what does he bring to the table that to help this offense of yours? And, how is it that your offense is able to score so many points?
Well, our offense has scored a lot of points. Our defense has helped us. We've scored a couple defensive touchdowns and blocked a few kicks on special teams. And, so we like to think that we're as balanced as we can be. But, we do try to spread people out. But hopefully we can run the ball a little bit and throw it a little bit and create some balance and make it difficult for defenses to attach themselves to one particular thing. And in terms of Anthony, he's a very competitive young man and extremely bright. Really has a very, very high football IQ. And he also is extremely competitive. And when you combine those two things with a lot of natural physical tools, you've got a pretty good storm there of a nice quarterback that we've built our program around the last couple of years.
You're absolutely right. And, of course, I believe he's committed to LSU, which says a lot for the young man. But swapping over to the defensive side of the ball, no real secret. The Lions likes to run it. What do you plan to do defensively tonight to try to slow down the Lions running game?
I see a sign over that says home of the 12th man, so we're going to try to sneak a 12th man on the field to try to slow them down offensively if we can do that. We've got to be very sound in our gap assignments, and we've got to make sure that if the play is a two-yard play, that's all it is. And we can't allow for missed tackles and can't allow ball carriers to fall forward and things of that nature. You're right, it's no secret that Lions wants to run the ball, and so, we need to make sure that they find themselves in difficult down and distance situations. And if we can do that and put them in the third and sixes and sevens, then we feel like we have an opportunity to maybe get them off the field and get our offense back on the field. So that's going to be crucial for us tonight.
Well, Coach, it's the playoffs. It's a new season. Everybody's 0-0. I know your team's excited. I'm sure they're ready to go tonight. Good luck to you. Thanks for talking with us, and appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks.
I was going to say thank you, Marty, for that equipment parts supply coach's spotlight with the Marietta head coach. We're going to take our first break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be able to go down on the field again and talk to Coach Randy McPherson, get his thoughts about this first playoff game. We'll be back after this 5-minute break. You're listening to Lions High Football right here on 99.5 Kicks Country. And welcome back to Martin Stadium. I'm Bill Osborne. Beside me, Taylor Biddle. Down on the field is Marty Rogers. And somewhere else in the stadium is the voice of the Vikings, Wes James, as he continues to wander around the stadium here before we get ready for kickoff tonight in round one of the state playoffs. The Vikings host the Marietta Blue Devils in the first round. Vikings the number two seed out of Region 1, and the Marietta Blue Devils the third seed out of Region 4. And we were here earlier, watched them walk the field. We're talking about Marietta now, walk the field. Got an opportunity to, like I said, get the lay of the land. These guys are fired up. This is a team that has come down here from Marietta, and as their newspaper article said, they weren't making the trip down here to lose. But these guys are fired up. They've got a lot of excitement about them. They've got some great athletes, Taylor.
Absolutely, Bill. I think they were really kind of reminiscing the Hickory high school basketball team from the movie Hoosiers. You know, the coach said during pregame while I was down there on the field, guys, this is the same 100-yard field that we play back at Marietta at Northcutt Stadium. They all linked arms, started on the goal line, walked all the way down to the other goal line to try to get them maybe used to a little bit bigger stadium, maybe a little bit more fans in the stands. So, yeah, this Marietta Blue Devil team's got some impact players, and we're going to go over those a little bit later in the pregame show. But both teams have made the field, about 43 minutes left to kick off. Marietta in their white on white with blue helmets. Your Lowndes High Vikings are in the crimson pants and crimson jerseys with their gray helmets. About 50 degrees out here, so bring a jacket with you when you come. Maybe a little bit below 50. Standing here, it'll be a little bit cold.
Yeah, I think it will. Now, we were talking about the excitement down on the field. Let's head down to the field and get Marty's take on that. I know in a few minutes we'll get Coach McPherson on the air. But, Marty, what's it like down there? I'm watching Lowndes warm up to my left, Marietta to my right, and Marietta seems to have a lot of enthusiasm right now.
Bill, you're absolutely right. They do. Not only do they have enthusiasm, guys, they brought a lot of athletes as well. As Taylor was saying, they are loaded. You can look around and see that they're very, very talented football team, got a lot of size to them. Their big men just took the field. Watching our team warm up, something that really stands out to me tonight that, you know, want to see if it plays any factor into the game is the weather. This is obviously the coldest game that we've played all year. Our team is out. Taylor, you always talk about uniforms. I will mention that not only are we in our all maroon, but we have the maroon sleeves and the gray leggings on tonight. So a little different look for us. You know, how would the weather affect this team? For instance, Nick Bergman, you know, is fighting with his hamstring injury. Will this weather have any effect on any injuries? Will anybody pull any muscles? Well, you know, will there be any drop passes? You know, I really think that's going to be a key, is to kind of watch that, see if the weather has an effect. But also, one last thing, guys, just watching, speaking of Nick Bergman, he and Tyquan Lang, both moving around very well. We'll talk about that a little bit more in later on. But they're both moving around very well. They're warming up. They look ready to go.
Thanks, Marty. And, Taylor, I know you were interested in those two guys as well. And Marty kind of read our mind about how they were going to deal with this colder weather. Even in a good day, if you've got a twisted ankle, you've got a muscle that's sore, it'll tighten up on you real fast. And in this kind of weather, it's going to tighten up even that much more.
Absolutely, Bill. Just kind of recapping the audience, Nick Bergman and Tyquan Lang both out the last game. Nick Bergman did practice this week. Tyquan did not, is my understanding. Nick Bergman doesn't appear to be in any kind of brace. Hamstring is kind of hard to put a brace on, but Tyquan Lang does have a pretty good size ankle brace on his ankle. So we need to keep an eye on those two guys tonight, see how they're holding up for this first-round playoff match.
I want to remind our listeners to join us every Tuesday night at the Holiday Inn and Conference Center for the Lowndes High Randy McPherson Coaches Show. We get out there about 6:45, get on the air, and then Coach McPherson's there with Wes James around 7 o'clock to talk about the last week's game, get you set up, talk about the players of the week. We have a lot of players. We've been running anywhere from 15 to 18 to almost even 20 players most Tuesday nights. A coach or two comes out there, Coach McPherson. We've had really good crowds. And great food out there at the Holiday Inn as well. So if you get an opportunity this Tuesday night, we will have another coach's show. That'll be, as I said, at 6:45 live from the Holiday Inn and Conference Center right here on 99.5 Kicks Country. We were watching the quarterbacks warm up. Seth Carlo taking a lot of snaps, making a lot of solid throws. And then I'm watching Alex Stevenson as well out there making some good throws. There was some talk earlier that maybe one would play over the other. Well, we've seen Alex Stevenson kind of take over that role earlier this year. But then there was some concern that maybe Seth needs to get a little playing time as we get ready to get into these playoffs. A situation that you get a player like Alex that maybe gets hurt and Seth hadn't had a lot of playing time. I think Seth has got to work himself back into some PT here. To be prepared in the event that Alex does go down.
Yeah, I think, you know, what we're talking about a little bit off air is I think Alex Stevenson might have had a little bit of an injury this week in practice, so coach has really kind of asked Seth to maybe step up and be prepared this week. We'll see what they come out with in the starting series. I don't know who it's going to be, but maybe we can get some clarification from Marty.
Guys, I talked around and got a kind of a vague answer, but from what I'm told, he has been hobbling a little bit. They brought him out here. He did go through warm-ups. He was moving fairly well. And you know, it's kind of, I guess, it's a game time decision that the how he felt during warm-ups and is he ready to go. Carlo was warming up right there with him, and I think either one of them will be ready, but it'll be interesting to see who takes the first snap.
Well, I'm looking out, Taylor, the crowd's starting to come in now. It's about 40 minutes until kickoff. And, again, I want to remind our fans, we have the 25-second clocks. That came into play a couple weeks ago at the Camden game. Nice asset to the team, to the field, and we're hearing that, especially in 6A, that it's going to be mandated as it goes into the 2013 season. We as fans really appreciate the 25-second clock. We get that look to see when the clock starts running. It's going to help quarterbacks as they start to understand they're there at the field and start to use them as they do like at a college level. I think it's going to be a great asset, especially to the 6A level.
Absolutely, and it always gives you that reassurance when you think a back judge may not be paying attention to the play clock just as much as he needs to. The coaches can point over and say, look, we got 5 seconds left. And maybe not that time you get a flag call, but maybe further down when the team's pushing the envelope a little bit as far as their time between plays. I'd like to see maybe a little more time put on that for the high school level. 25 seconds is pretty short, but that's just my take on it.
Well, and maybe we see some rule changes in the future that we go to, you know, like the college does, as soon as the play is over, there's a 45-second clock that begins ticking unless the official then, you know, pushes the play clock to reset, and that is still a 25-second clock. But so far, the teams have always done a pretty good job of getting the plays in and out. Now, we kid around here that sometimes Randy likes to take a little longer to think about his play and get it in, and it does take a little time sometimes as you start thinking about and trying to plan ahead like a chess game. Two or three moves ahead, and that's what you got to do as an offensive coordinator.
Bill, I'm not ready to call him an impact player, but, you know, we always like to look at the special teams. Marty loves special teams, and watching the Marietta High kicker, he was making a 43-yarder with no problems. He moved back to 50. He wasn't having a problem there either. Wonder what the kicking game for Marietta is going to do to us last night. We know last game against Camden, special teams played a huge role in the outcome of that ball game.
Yeah,
you know, we got to be ready for that tonight.
Yeah, and these guys, Marietta's got some guys that can return punts. They've got where the athletes come out, and you see that very often is actually on special teams. Sometimes a quarterback with not a good line or maybe not great receivers around him can be a great quarterback, but he's not effective. But that athlete can be effective on a punt return, a kick return, and really turn a game around. We've seen that with Nick Bergman, be able to turn a game around just that quick with a kick return for a touchdown and so many things like that. Whole team is coming out now, Taylor, for the Vikings, coming out to get warmed up, getting a little crunk music over the PA system.
We ready is being played, Bill.
We ready.
We ready. Just about 36 minutes away from kickoff. If you haven't decided to come out to the ballgame tonight, I still think there's tickets available here on the home side.
There are. Because of the way the playoffs are set, those of you that had season tickets, if you didn't pick them up by Tuesday, they became available to anybody else who wanted to get them. So if you had season tickets on the visitor side during the season and want to get them to the home side, there are tickets still available. Yes. They've set a trailer up just outside there, and they've got plenty of tickets.
You know, this ball game's always kind of weird, that first round of playoffs, when you got Thanksgiving break the whole week off.
Right.
People may be leaving to go out of town, but there's plenty of tickets still left that you can get on the home side and watch a good football game tonight.
Yeah, in just a minute, we'll go down to the field and get Marty to get Coach McPherson. I see him out there at the 50-yard line, but the team's going through their calisthenics. And we should be able to get him in just a few moments after that. Let's take a quick two-minute break. When we come back, we'll have some more information for you and get you ready for this ball game, the first round of the GHSA 6A Championship. We'll be right back after this two-minute break. Welcome back. High above Martin Stadium, I'm Bill Osborne. Down on the field is Marty Rogers, and I know we're going to get down here and get an equipment, parts, supply, coach's spotlight with Coach Randy McPherson. Let's head down to the field here with Marty right now.
Hey, guys. I'm standing here with Coach McPherson. Coach, first of all, thanks for taking a minute to speak to us, but it's new season. I've heard you say it before. Everybody's 0-0. I know your team's prepared. How excited are they to start the playoffs tonight?
Oh, man, they're fired up. We've had a really good week of practice, 2 weeks of practice. You know, they're excited.
Coach, you stole my next question there. You mentioned you had 2 weeks. Obviously, the last time we talked was 2 weeks ago when we finished the regular season. What did you do during the off week to try to get your team better? How did you utilize that off week to get ready for the playoff?
We identified like five different things that we needed to work on, and we just focused on those things. You know, there wasn't a lot of contact at all, and the kids responded well. Came in this week, you know, got right back to business.
Can you share the secrets? What were some of the five things that you really focused on during that off week to try to get better?
Well, you know, pass coverage was one. You know, throwing the football, obviously we got to get better at that. And working on our blitz packages, you know, and the kicking game was something we focused a lot on.
All very important aspects of the game, obviously. The off week also did something else for you, and that's to hopefully let us get a little healthier. What is the health of our team? How is Nick Bergman and Taekwon Lang, and are they ready to go tonight?
They're ready to go. We're going to find out.
Well, good deal, good deal. Well, Coach, defensively, you're playing a team who spreads it out. They've got a great quarterback, very athletic, and several great wide receivers. The quarterback, of course, is Anthony Jennings, committed to LSU. They got a receiver, Tyree Harris, is committed to Wake Forest. Talk to us about your defense and what are the keys to trying to slow down the spread offense of Marietta.
Well, you know, first of all, you know, up front on defense, we got to play well. We got to get off blocks, pressure the quarterback. You know, in a team like this, they're going to make some plays, you know. And we just going to have to stay sound, get back in the huddle, don't try to change anything, play the defense you've been coached, and with them. You know, hopefully we can tackle them.
I hope you're right, Coach. Switching over to the other side of the ball, there's no secret as to what we like to do. We do like to run the ball. You mentioned we want to throw it a little bit better. What is the game plan tonight? Are you going to try to open it up a little bit more, or are we going to just try to pound it out behind that big offensive line of ours?
We're going to try to throw the ball too. You know, we're a running team, but you know, we didn't do a very good job of throwing the ball last time we played, and we tried a bunch of passes, but you know, hopefully we'll get better tonight. I feel good about our game plan. I really do. I think you'd be pleased.
Well, good. Coach, speaking of throwing the ball, there's been some talk that maybe Alex Stevenson, our starter, has been hobbling a little bit. Is he ready to go? Is he 100%? Or are we going to see Seth Carlo any at all?
You're going to see Seth, and you're probably going to see Alex too, you know. We've got two quarterbacks, and we have all year. And Alex is a little hobbled, though.
Well, Coach, last but not least, you are 17-1 at home in the playoffs. But we lost our last game here. I know you're ready to get that taste out of your mouth and come out and get a playoff victory tonight. But how important is it to start off the playoffs playing here at home?
You know, obviously it's very important, you know. We'd rather play here than anywhere. But that's
sure. I know you would. Coach, thanks for talking to us. Good luck tonight. Good luck, hopefully, the rest of the year. Thank you.
All right, Marty, thank you for that. Equipment Part Supply and Coach's Spotlight. And I tell you, Coach talked about it. We've had two quarterbacks all year. We've played two quarterbacks most of the year. Alex has kind of taken over that spot the last couple of weeks. But obviously he said that we're going to be looking to throw the ball a little more tonight. We're going to run. That's what we do. But we're going to see Seth Carlo. We're going to see Alex as well. But then he did confirm that Alex has been hobbled a little bit this week. So,
absolutely. I think we've been talking about it all year that we need to expand our play calling a little bit. Coach said there in the pregame that he wants to do that because I think we know going through the next five games, we're going to have to be able to pass the ball as well as run the ball. So I'm looking forward to being able to do that tonight. We'll see. Against the team, you know, Marietta defense, they've given up some points.
Yeah.
You know, they're averaging giving up close to 20 points a game. So, you know, we're hoping that we can be the team that puts well above 20 on them.
Yeah, that would be a good thing to put those up. Now, we take Camden, for instance. Camden County, the Vikings held them off the ground to around 87 yards. But they had a passing game, and that made the difference. 132 yards in the air, and that was the difference in that ball game. Had they been one-dimensional or taken that passing dimension away as what happened with us, we really just couldn't find the handle on that. We were only 1-for-5, and we tucked the ball a lot, tried to get away, and didn't make the throws that we needed to, and as a result, we lost the ball game.
Absolutely. You know, Camden, a predominantly wing-T team, but they threw that extra dimension in there, and I really think that that's what we're going to try to do this game and hopefully the next few games is – has really broadened that out. And don't forget defensively, too. I think we're going to have to mix it up defensively. We've done a great job this season against the different offenses that we've seen, mixing it up, bringing the blitzes, putting pressure on the edges. I expect big games out of our defense tonight.
Yeah, I really do, too. I look down there. I do see Tyquan Lang. It's great to see them, if nothing else, at least back in uniform tonight. It gives the team a continuity. We've got some good defense, so if he can't make it, I feel comfortable, but it's great to have him back in uniform.
Absolutely. Just about 25 minutes left till kickoff. Still fans pouring in here. Band's about to take the field.
I'm going to take a 60-second break. When we come back, we'll have our Southeastern Federal Credit Union Impact Players of the Game. We'll be right back after this 60-second break. You're listening to Lions High Football right here on 99.5 Kicks Country. And welcome back to the press box high above Martin Stadium. Bill Osborne, Taylor Biddle, Marty Rogers, and somewhere else down in the field is Wes James. I think he's talking to Coach David Dean down there about the 25 or 15-yard line. Wes, I tell you, he knows everybody. He just gets a chance to get down there and really talk to officials, all kinds of folks down there. Of course, Wes, for a long time, has been on the broadcast crew for the VSU Blazers, really kind of fell off of that this year with so many other things going on, but has always been an integral part of that broadcast as well. It's time now for our Southeastern Federal Credit Union Impact Players of the Game. We're going to turn it over to Taylor to get us started.
I'm going to start tonight with the Marietta High School Offensive Impact Player tonight. I can't go any further than where Marty mentioned in the pregame with Coach Burton. Number 12, Anthony Jennings. He's their playmaker. He's the one you're going to need to be looking at. He's a three-year starter. He's got 1,983 yards passing on the season, 21 touchdown passes. He can also do it on the ground, Bill. He'll kill you on the ground. He's got 608 rushing yards. He's 63% passing completion rate. So not only can he pass for big yards, but he's also pretty accurate. He is an LSU commit. Anthony Jennings is going to be a guy that we have got to contain tonight, not necessarily only through the air. We've got to contain his scrambling abilities, too, tonight.
Now, is he a three-year starter?
He is a three-year starter.
That's just amazing, a young man like that to come in as a sophomore. Obviously, LSU sees a lot in him, and he's going to be an integral part of that that offense for LSU probably for a number of years.
He won an Elite 11 camp, and that really propelled him in the recruiting spotlight. And he hasn't disappointed. I mean, almost 2,000 yards passing tonight. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, I'm gonna look at the wide receivers. That quarterback, Anthony Jennings, needs somebody to throw to, and he has had some this year. Number 7, Tyree Harris, along with number 16, Kenny Norwood. There's a whole stable of wide receivers, but these two guys have really just jumped off the page. These are guys that they catch the ball. They realize what the quarterback's doing. They come back for the pass. They get themselves in a place where when the quarterback's in a scramble situation, if he does start to look to run, our cornerbacks are going to have to stay with these wide receivers because he's looking down the field, and he's going to be hitting guys like Tyree Harris and Kenny Norwood. Tyree Harris is a Wake Forest commitment already in a Division I level. Just a phenomenal athlete. Then Kenny Norwood, I saw him even during warm-ups, really catching balls right off his shoestring. So our cornerbacks are going to have to do a great job to stay with these wide receivers for the Marietta Blue Devils.
Guys, y'all are absolutely right. They do like to spread it. They're going to throw it, and they're going to catch it. But I'm going to shift gears a little bit, and I'm going to go with their sophomore starting running back, Cravante Benson. He is 5'7", 180. Y'all just talked about it takes a special athlete to start as a sophomore. He is a special athlete. He's built low to the ground. He's a very tough runner. He's got 87 carries on the season for 835 yards, 9 touchdowns. He's number 20 for them. Somebody to keep an eye out because the way they like to spread it out, and that's going to be trying to do some blitzing and putting pressure on the quarterback and containing Anthony Jennings, we cannot sleep on Cravante Benson because he is a good running back, and I think he'll have an impact on this game. And, he could be a big difference in this ballgame.
Thank you, Marty, for your Southeastern Federal Credit Union Marietta High School impact player on offensive side. Trying to defend those impact players on the defensive side of the ball for the Lions High Vikings, I'm going to go with number 17, Trey Jackson. 23 solos on the year, 19 assists, 42 total tackles. He's got 3.5 tackles for a loss, and he's got 1 sack. More importantly, the last time we played a predominantly spread attack, Trey had a really big game, two interceptions against Colquitt County. Did a really good job showing pressure on the end, backing into coverage, and throwing it right where the curl route or the out route was being thrown. And Trey had a big game for us against Colquitt. I see him stepping up a lot like he did in that Colquitt game tonight against the Marietta Blue Devils.
And my impact player, I'm sitting there watching him. He's kneeling at the 40-yard line. Marty's looking at him right now, probably. Sam Washington, number 88. He's just contemplating where he's at, what his next move is going to be. Sam Washington has 21 tackles on the season, 9 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, and 2 fumble recovery. And it's not what Sam has done for the season, but it's what Sam's been doing for the last 3 weeks. There's a tenacity about Sam that has come out over since the region started, and even through a little bit of the region series, he began to get nasty, and I mean that in a good way. He started to really elevate his game. He has done a phenomenal job. He's a great vocal leader, and he has taken that defensive line under his wings.
Marty, before we go to you, I want to say one more thing about Trey Jackson. You know, we saw him a little bit on the offensive side of the ball last week again, or 2 weeks ago against Camden. Wonder how that's going to play into his ability on defense tonight. I see him taking some huddles with the offense tonight. Sorry to interrupt you, Marty. Go ahead.
No, I totally agree with you there, Taylor. It's a great point. And, you know, wonder how what kind of impact he's going to be able to have on this game doing everything that he's doing, because he is going to be blitzing a lot tonight. He's going to be dropping in coverage, playing offense. He's going to be very, very active tonight on this field. Guys, my impact player tonight, no surprise, I was going to go with Tyquan Lang. Tyquan is moving well out here warming up, but he is such an important part of this football team. You look back at his last game when he had 4 total touchdowns, 1 on special teams, 3 on offense. Tyquan can do it all. I really think he'll have an impact tonight, but I have been told that he may not start tonight. I've been told Jermacy Wright is probably going to start at safety, but we will see Tyquan. So, you know, with that being said, I think that position, again, Taylor, you mentioned it 2 weeks ago. If Tyquan's not in the game, Jermacy is at a huge impact on this football game. Not necessarily making the big plays, but not giving up a big play. He has got to step in and play adequately for, you know, in the absence of Tyquan. And when Tyquan gets in there, I guarantee you he will have an impact on this game. He's just that type of player.
Thank you, Marty, for your Southeastern Federal Credit Union impact player for the Lowndes Tide defense. Excuse me, offense.
That was defense.
Defense, excuse me. Flipping over to the Lowndes Tide offense, I got to go with number 21, Nick Bergman. 87 attempts, 791 yards. He's averaging 8.7 carries per yards per carry. He's got 9 TDs. Also, he's our leading receiver. He's got 9 receptions for 145 yards and 2 TDs. Again, we mentioned Tyquan Lang. Nick Bergman's also coming off a big injury where he sat out the last one and a half games. And how is he gonna impact this game tonight? We need Nick Bergman to be healthy if we're gonna make a big run. Nick Bergman's my impact player tonight for the Lowndes Tide Vikings on offense.
Well, my offensive impact players for the Lowndes Tide Vikings is gonna be that offensive line. Let me tell you something. These guys, the center, Brian Rowe, guard, Dwayne Hart, Larry Scarborough, the tackles, Tyler Altman, Anthony Chandler, and I gotta throw in both our tight ends, Christian Parker and Eric Torrey, have allowed our team to rush the ball for 2,733 yards on the season and 35 touchdowns. And it doesn't happen without those 5, 6, 7 guys right up in the front, because we are such a run-dominant team that it's because of the holes these guys create. And our sons of thunder, as we like to call them, they make the difference, and they are going to be make an impact on today's game, because I see the Vikings really racking up a few more yards offensively.
Bill, great numbers there. 270-something yards per game rushing the football is great. I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I'm going with the quarterback position, and I think Seth Carlo may have a breakout game tonight. He doesn't have great numbers on the year. He's only 11 of 24 for 135 yards. He's only thrown 1 interception, and he's throwing for 46. He's completing 46% of his passes. He's got a long of 38, and that was a touchdown to Nick Bergman. He's thrown 2 of those touchdowns, and he's averaging 13.5 yards per pass. But I think Seth Carlo is going to step in tonight, and with the hobbled Alex, I think you'll see Alex some, but I think Seth is going to come in, and he's going to have his chance. We didn't throw the ball very well 2 weeks ago. I really think you heard Coach McPherson talk about it. It was one of the things they worked on during the off week. I really think, I'm watching the warm-up, Seth Carlo has been coming out with the first team through pretty much all the warm-ups. I think Seth Carlo is probably going to be our main guy tonight, and I think he will have a good game, and it might be his breakout performance tonight.
Thank you, Marty. Flipping over, trying to defend our Lowndes High Vikings on the Marietta side of the ball on defense. I got to go with the linebackers, the three linebackers tonight. That wing T is assignment football. Like Coach Burton said, these linebackers from Marietta have got to play assignment football. Their linebackers, number 21, Lawton Ward, 5'11", 175-pound junior. Number 30, Drew McCollum, 5'8", 210-pound senior. He's actually the son of Andy McCollum, who is a coach at Middle Tennessee State and now is on staff with Georgia Tech. And number one, Ty Tomlin, 5'11", 218-pound junior. These three players for the Marietta defense are going to have to play assignment football and really be able to stop that run tonight if they're going to have any chance of stopping this wing T defense.
I think so, too. One of the things I think that the position that's going to make an impact for Marietta is going to be their defensive ends. We know we like the Vikings like to run to the outside. The two defensive ends, Jan Robles and Trey Warren, they're two defensive ends, number 80 and number 13. These guys have got to be able to contain the outside if Marietta wants to be successful defensively to stop the Lowndes High Vikings. We run the counters, we run the traps, and we run up the middle. But our bread and butter this year has been able to get the speed, get out to the corner, and then just break away. And if those defensive ends get trapped inside, they're going to be ineffective. So I think the impact players really could be these two defensive ends, Jan Robles and Trey Warren, for the Marietta Blue Devils.
Well, guys, sticking with my theme here tonight, I'm going to go with their safety. Number four is the senior, Peter Savich. And I'm sorry, I think I got the number wrong there. He's number three, Peter Savich, but he's got four INTs on the year. He's their leading interception getter on the defense. I really think we're going to throw the ball some, and now let's see what they do. Are they game plan to come up and try to stop the run, since we are averaging over 270 yards per game rushing the football? Is he going to be up in the you know, near the front seven there trying to help out against the run? And if so, can he get back and cover when we run those wingbacks out for passes? I really think he's going to have a big game tonight and have an impact on this game if Marietta hopes to slow down the Lowndes offense. He's not a big guy. He's only 5'8", 155, but he's very quick, very athletic, and very active on this defense. I really think he's going to have an impact tonight for the Marietta Blue Devils.
Thank you, Marty, for your Southeastern Federal Credit Union impact players. Just about 13 minutes till kickoff. We're going to take a two-minute break here on the Southeastern Federal Credit Union. Southeastern Federal Credit Union countdown to kickoff. You're listening to 99.5 Kick Country.
That's all right. And welcome back to Martin Stadium. I'm Bill Osborne, and we are now in the pregame, about 11 minutes away until kickoff, as we are having a moment of silence. And then the Lowndes High George Bridgman will bring us the national anthem, and we're going to have the prayer now. Let's join in.
Bless this night, God, and I thank you for this day and for this chilly football weather. And, Lord God, I thank you for both football teams that are here tonight. And I pray, God, that you would put a shield of protection over all the players tonight and that you would keep everyone safe. And even though we're all rooting for a team to win, God, I pray that you would help us all to remember that no matter what the outcome of the game is, that the safety and well-being of everyone is the most important. And Lord, I pray that the injuries would be kept to a minimum. I pray that you would help us to all keep a positive attitude and to be encouraging and uplifting to one another. And God, I pray that you would let all those who came out to watch and everyone from both teams have a safe ride home and a good rest of the night. Also, I pray over the upcoming Thanksgiving break, God, that everyone would have a good time and make it back safely to school the following week. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now we'll have the Lowndes High Georgia Bridgman and our national anthem. Thank you. And there you have it, the Loudside Georgia Bridgemen, all 450 strong as they play our national anthem. The clock says we have about 7 minutes until kickoff here tonight. And Wes James, the voice of the Vikings, has made his way back up here to the press box. And, Wes, you were down on the field. Tell us a little bit about the mood of the teams, and you talked to coaches and officials. How's things down on the field?
Real businesslike, Bill. It's not, you don't see a lot of emotion like we did in the Camden game, or maybe that fire that was in their eyes in the Camden game. What you saw was a workmanlike attitude. Hey, we've got things we've got to do. We've got a job to do. Let's go out and do it. And basically the same way with the coaches. We know what we've got to do. We know what kind of team we're up against. We do our job. We win the ball game.
Just a few points I'd like to make about playoffs. We're in playoffs now. Not only is it win or go home, but there's a few changes that are made in the functionality of the game. Every key position of the officiating crew will be officials. That includes the chain game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That only happens when we get to the playoffs. And in fact, three of my friends tonight are they're at over in Camden, working that game over there as the chain crew.
You know, we're used to just the officials on the ground, on the field, and the clock operator. But we've got actually two clock operators up here in the press box with us, and the chain gang will be officials. So, not really.
Well, you get a group of guys who understand, and they've been, even the guys that are on the chains. These are guys that were back judge, field judge, clock operators. They were actually on the field during the season in someone else's crew. And maybe their crew didn't get a full game or something, so they get out here, they get on the chains, and they fully understand everything that's going on. It's just a better called game all the way around. Do want to remind everybody that the Georgia High School Association would like to thank its corporate partners for their support of high school athletics and their activities. They are the Georgia Farm Bureau Insurance, Verizon, Georgia Electric Membership Corporation, Gatorade, Wilson, U.S. Marine Corps, Mizuno, Moulton, Sports Medicine South, Regions Bank, Georgia Army National Guard, Technical College System of Georgia, and the Sports Authority, because once we get into the playoffs, of course, we are governed by the GHSA, and we thank them for their support and those sponsors. We do have some captains coming out. We want to go ahead and get those in?
We'll get those numbers to you. Just 1 second, guys.
Okay, sounds good. The band is out there warming up. Now, one of the things the band is going to do tonight, Wes, is they're going to do their full show in an honor to the veterans, the U.S. Armed Services. It's been a great show all year, but I tell you what, they're going to get to do the whole show tonight.
And they're going to do it to the folks who are on the other side.
Very cool.
Captain tonight for the visiting Marietta Blue Devils, number 80, Jan Robles, number 21, Lawton Ward, number 12, Anthony Jennings, and number 54, Davis Wilson. For your Lowndes High Vikings, number 94, Eric Torrey. Number 19, Jamacy Wright. Number 76, Anthony Chandler. And number 49, Xavier Crawford.
All right. We're going to get out on the field and get the coin toss.
And as we head down there, Marty Rogers is headed down on the sidelines as the Marietta captains come out. Got an update, Taylor. From North Cobb, it's Valosta 7, North Cobb nothing.
7-7 is tied now.
Oh, okay.
They just tied it up. Bear with us 1 moment. We'll go down to Marty for the equipment parts supply coin flip.
First of all, your captains want you to act like it tonight. You're in charge of your teams. Run fast as you want to, hit hard as you want to. We blow the whistle, it's over. Okay? No slapping on the heads. We don't know when it's meant for good or bad. Okay, I know it's a lot of fun until somebody did a good job. That's all you got to say. Okay? Mr. Greason and I will be inside all night. This is a Georgia Bulldog 1983 coin. The helmet is his. Okay? He scared you loose tails. Okay? Number 12 will call it in the air. No, I mean, call it before we flip it. You in the air, but they change it.
Tails. Tails.
It's his. Okay, now, what'd he call? He called tails? Okay, you've won the toss. You want the football.
Yes, sir.
Okay, which goal do you want to defend?
Scoreboard.
Scoreboard. Okay, put your back to the scoreboard. You put your back here.
Guys, we won the toss. We have elected to receive. We will have our back towards the Georgia Bridgemen, heading to the field house to start off this 2012 first round playoff game.
And thank you, Marty Rogers, for that Commercial Banking Company sideline update. Marietta heads back towards their field. Bill, I don't know if y'all saw this earlier. It was kind of unusual. Their kicker, Marietta's kicker, during warm-ups, was warming up with a soccer ball.
Wow. We were talking about him in pregame, Wes. He was kicking some 40 and 50-yarders with no problem.
All right, the band's still on, waiting on the teams to come out. Marietta comes out.
Bill, stop. Look, listen. Here come the mighty, mighty Vikings.
And the band there brings the team out onto the field. The Marietta Blue Devils waiting to run through their banner down there at that end. Wes, we're going to have a former Lowndes High Viking up here with us probably a little bit later on tonight. Is here tonight at tonight's ball game. Kelly Dawson.
Saw him play when I was doing, and of course I had took a year off, but saw him play when I was doing VSU football when we were up at West Georgia.
And, yeah, Kelly Dawsey this year was named first team Gulf South Conference and as a cornerback. And one of the other accolades that he's been given is that he's been asked to play in the D2 All-American Bowl at Minneapolis, Minnesota at the Metrodome. And he's excited about that.
Well, he originally went up toward, I forget where, up toward Minnesota.
Western Michigan
and wanted to come home and made it back down to West Georgia. Christian Glisson's on the sidelines tonight, former Lowndes High player.
Yeah, that's a lot of folks coming back to help support this team. Both of those guys on that 2007 state championship team. Kelly Dawsey, one of those that was part of the 04, 05, and 07 state championship. So good to see him back here tonight, and I'm anxious to see him. Excited about his opportunities to go and play in that All-American Bowl. Kelly's a guy, I mean, that's a D1 school he went to at Western Michigan.
Absolutely.
Came back to play Division II at West Georgia College and has been very, very successful.